This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
Small talk, I think it's important in a team environment, and it makes people feel comfortable. And yeah. Also, they understand that they're no better or worse than anybody else in the room. They're just different.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
Welcome back to this episode of the Team Builders Podcast. This podcast, you hear insights into what we feel makes a great team. We have everything from in-depth interviews on business leaders right through to our network of team building partners from around the globe. I'm, of course, joined today by my two wonderful co-directors. They call themselves Jerry and Stephen. I don't know what everybody else calls them, but that'll do the job for now. Boys, how are we?
A nervous wreck, Jonathan. A nervous wreck. Because my 18-year-old went out and bought a car. And I haven't slept in 4 days.
Oh, my word.
I haven't used... where's my iPhone tracker so much? So, nervous wreck. I hope by the next podcast I'll settle myself.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Stephen, any of those challenges?
No, Jonathan, I'm the best. In fact, speaking of the best, Gillette, the best a man can get. Come on, boys, I'm teeing you up here.
That's an in-joke. You have to listen to all other 47 episodes of our podcast to get what Stephen's talking about there. All right, gents. Well, listen, great to be here, and thanks for joining me again. In this episode, I'm really keen to discuss a topic, really important element around team building, but something that not necessarily everybody finds easy, and that is small talk. Everyday conversations that create that bond, that communication, that kind of strategic connection within teams, something that often I think teams and leaders come to us for and say, hey, listen, my team are perhaps great at what they do, but don't necessarily have that kind of bond or connection that we want to have within our business. So something I thought would be really important that we could pick up on and perhaps something that we can talk on today. Jerry, I don't know if you want to tee us straight in. You know, what is the first thing you think of whenever we say small talk?
Yeah, first thing I think of is, whoa, run a mile. I mean, it stresses me to the max. People wouldn't believe it when they meet me in a work environment, but I find it very difficult. But it is a skill that needs to be mastered. And that's how I look upon it. It's a bit of a job in a way. You know, you have to try and put yourself out there. You have to try and do it because it'll help your network. It'll help you in your business. If you're an employee, it will help you in your position. It'll create new contacts. So I think it's vital. So when people do ask us for it, I guess what they're trying to say is they would like a little bit more of a team knit to be put together. I once did an event for an oil business, and I was in their environment and their work. Somebody stood up and they said, okay, come on, we're off to a town hall. And I was thinking, Jesus, it's not lunchtime yet. What's a town hall? And I looked at the colleague who was escorting me around the building. He says, oh yeah, that's just where we all just meet around the coffee and we just, how things are going for today. But there's some important announcements. That's why it's a town hall. Otherwise it would just be a chit chat. I thought, okay, that's great. But I think what their whole ethos was, get people out of their seat, get them to an area, have a coffee. The boss, if you like, says a few tidbits that they need to think about for the day, so what the targets might be, and then that creates that 15, 20-minute small talk for everybody to be into.
Yeah.
I was impressed by it, and then from that, we, I guess as well in our business, when we get a call for that, we need to develop an experience that would aid that in a conference environment and not in their workplace because, you know, we're in a hotel conference room or something. Now, Stephen, you're not the king of chit-chat because you don't chit-chat or small talk. It's always factual and exact, but you're great in an environment where that needs to be achieved. Is it as easy for you as it seems?
I think, for me, I get confused by the term small talk, but I like the term icebreaking. And for me, icebreaking is just to go in to an audience or go in with your colleagues and talk about things that you're interested in and say they're interested in. Maybe fishing, maybe walking, maybe football, maybe golf. Well, it's never golf for me, obviously. Or you boys.
Yeah,
but that's common currency. And a lot of common currency these days, you know, related around Netflix and movies and, social media, et cetera, et cetera. So icebreaking is a term that I like to think. And again, that can just reveal the person, their likes and dislikes, their loves, their barriers, perhaps the lines that they don't go over. And small talk, I think it's important in a team environment and it makes people feel comfortable. And also they understand that they're no better or worse than anybody else in the room. They're just different. They have different loves, different aspirations, different ideas. But companies can harness that so that they all know that they want to go to work in a great environment with a great culture and go home to their families, friends, or on their own and be with a company who cares about them and encourages that social interaction, that chit-chat, perhaps, I guess you would call that,
in a time when that becomes more difficult with some remote workers.
Yeah, it does put you at ease, though, to be fair.
It does.
You know, if you're sitting around with six people and nobody's saying anything,
absolutely,
it's not easy.
Yeah, even just being able to introduce yourself into a group and those kind of things. You know, we all have been to those networking evenings where you think, okay, I best go to the Volvon table, wherever it's called, and see if I can start chatting to somebody. And I think that, you know, these little interactions, you know, definitely give confidence to a team. You know, a lot of the time whenever we work with businesses that are focusing on these elements, it's about knowing the person behind the work colleague. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And I think, again, Jerry, which we're maybe going to come on to shortly, some of the products that we offer that can support those particular team building needs, that's what they want to get out of their sessions. They want to know their people behind the work facade.
Yeah.
And I think whenever you build those connections, that's what...
Yeah, because you could be sitting beside somebody that ran a marathon in like 4 hours or something.
Yeah.
And you might never know.
100%.
But it's a great little thing to know about that person, because that, like Steve mentioned, that gives you an insight into that person.
So I mentioned there briefly that we do have some specific products that tailor to those kind of outcomes or those kind of engagement pieces. Jerry, you know, one of them that we've done a few times recently, Knowing Me, Knowing You, is a kind of networking challenge activity. Yep. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about that.
Sing the song, Knowing Me, Knowing
Great.
You.
That's it. That's the whole event.
Yeah, that's it.
Charge $5,000 for that.
Chief, Knowing Me, Knowing You, it's a great activity, a great experience, because you have to get off your seat and you have three business objectives and three personal objectives. So first of all, you fill out your three personal ones. We work with you to see what they may be. But as an example, my three best hobbies, my three best holiday destinations, and perhaps my greatest achievement as an employee or something. And then your work ones could be, I have met four of my colleagues from the US branch.
Yes.
It could be anything like that. And then the game starts, because it is gamified, so the buzzer goes off. You have to go around the room and you got to hunt people out, and they have to have the same as you. So if you have as one of your hobbies golf, and you meet Mary has written down golf, you both give each other a point and you sign off your card, and you go around the room doing that. That lasts about, I think, about 7 or 8 minutes, so it's not that long. Then you go back to your table and we score up that round, and then it progresses to round two, round three, and it gets a little bit harder each round, because you have to match two, match three, bonus matches, all of those things. And then at the end, we have a winner's table, because you add up all your team score. So it goes from an individual game to a team game to you having to probably meet at least 30, 40 people in the room.
Yeah.
And even, this is the great thing about it, even if you are introverted and it's not your bag, people come to you. So you're brought into the game even though you're not willing to feel that, you know, because it is stressful.
Yeah, 100%. It's that great icebreaking thing that Stephen mentioned there. You know, it gives you the opportunity to go meet people, make it easy. It's gamified. You know you're playing for competition. It's a great conference starter. We've done it lots with like 200, 300, 400 before they get into it. And as you say, I like the part, because often, you know, when you're in these businesses, although there are 300 or 400 people on the floor of your office, you pretty much talk to the six people that you sit beside.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think it's a great opportunity to, you know, to get involved and engage with those people.
I'll tell you a quick story. I guess I am extrovert at work, introvert internally, but Stephen took me to a wonderful gentleman, Tony Robbins. This is about, I don't know, 15, 18. He didn't pay, mind you, but
just to start it off.
An amazing person if you haven't hooked into him. But outside the room, there was, I think it was 9,500 people. I could hear people screaming, shouting, cheering, and I went, holy tumble. Went through the door, and Stephen said to me, you know, just get involved, have a go, do it. And it was forced a little bit upon you, and then I tried it, and I loved it. Now, I loved it in the moment, and it still frightens me to go back to it again, but it just shows that with a bit of energy and a bit of network and a bit of understanding of where other people are in that moment, you get drawn into it, and you give the people around you more than you did or would if you hadn't. And for a business, I think that's the big like plus sign. Now I know that when I walk into a room, I give it everything, because it's those people's time to get it. That's how it rolled for me.
I think these days, anything that's live and at the elite level, whether it's sport, entertainment, music, etc., is worth paying your money for, time well spent. I was speaking to someone recently about the circus, and I was going on about how good circuses were, and she said to me, yes, and don't forget you can smell it. Now that sounds awful, but it's absolutely true. You're not anaesthetized from the experience as you would be if you're just watching it on a screen or getting some sort of social media feed. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's hard to mimic a live experience. And we found that during certain periods over the past, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years with virtual events we were doing, we kind of lost that feeling. We lost that emotional attachment to people and experiences. That's coming back now. We still do a lot of virtual events, but it's hard to miss pressing the flesh with people and really get that experience. Can't beat that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Now, Knowing Me, Knowing You is paper-based, Jonathan. It allows people to like tag and put things, but small bit of negotiation when it comes to scoring and things. So you need an hour, now in 15 minutes. So we developed a tablet version or on your phone version where you can scan a QR code on the screen. And it's called Human Bingo. And what that does was it allows us to do that experience, that networking experience, electronically, which is more comfortable than the pen and the paper. I'm all up for pen and paper, but sometimes in the time constraint and the room layout, especially if it's theatre style, you know, that it's hard for people to get around passing paper and stuff. So on your phone it arrives and it's bingo. You get your own set of bingo balls, giggles from the audience, and there's four different colours. So you choose the colours, you choose the number, and then you click on it and it says, find someone in the room that has a dog called Joe. You're shouting out, you know, who's got a dog called Joe? And someone as far as I've got a dog called Joe. And then you meet up, you say, what's your name? Put it in. And then obviously, when that happens, you're going to have a chat about, oh, how come your dog's called Joe? And while you're here, let's do another bingo ball. They press on it and it says, I ran a marathon in 4 hours. No, I never ran a marathon. But I know Michael over there, he runs marathons. So you run over to Michael. So it actually takes that knowing me, knowing you, linear based, and explodes it into a bigger picture, including taking some photos, taking some videos. It's awesome. Stephen, I know you haven't been to one, but it's right down your street, especially when they say, how does this work? You just touch it and it tells them how it goes.
Yeah, I think that brings it into this century.
This century.
And also means that from a logistical point of view, we can capture all that information and share it with the customer afterwards as well, which is phenomenal. Yeah. Capture photographs, capture videos, et cetera, et cetera. Brilliant. And a lot of people sometimes hide their light under a bushel about their skills and talents and experiences. It's an opportunity for them to talk about themselves, which is hopefully the easiest thing in the world to talk about.
Good sales point there, Stephen.
Boom.
When you do hit the bingo ball and it says, I speak 17 languages, you go, holy moly, I work with somebody who speaks 17 languages.
Yeah.
And you want to find out.
Yeah, for sure.
And then from our point of view, percentage point of view, you can stop the game anytime. Pull up all the answers and shout out, where's Veronica? Where's James? Did you know? Did you know? It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a great experience. And I always like the ending when we have those photos and videos on the highlights reel. We see people that could juggle that you didn't know could juggle and someone rapping the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, et cetera, et cetera. So loads of good stuff there. And, you know, a really great product for sure. And I think these are the kind of tools and things that we can implement in your conference or your meeting to add those elements of fun, engagement, you know, a bit of competition.
Over to tea break.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it fits really well.
Yeah, because you have three tea breaks normally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But again, I think the big key thing is obviously that element around small talk, around networking and icebreakers and meeting with your colleagues in a different environment. I think that's what builds out of everybody. Gents, thanks very much. That was great. I really appreciate that and the good insights into those particular things. If you'd like to learn more about any of those products that were mentioned today or indeed anything else that we offer, check out our website. It's teamchallenge-company.co.uk. From myself and from my two colleagues, Stephen, Jerry, thanks very much for being here with us today.
Thanks, Jonathan, mate.
Thank you, Jonathan. Always a pleasure.
We will catch you next time on the Team Builders Podcast. Thank you.